let us share some features of her diary. This one, the January 17, 1938. It's her diary. Then the last page, that's some message of Jesus to her. Today, since early in the morning, my soul has been in darkness. I cannot ascend to Jesus, and I feel as though I have been forsaken by him. I will not turn to creatures for light, because I know that they will not enlighten me if Jesus will to keep me in darkness. I submit myself to his holy will and suffer. Still, the struggle is becoming more and more desperate. During Vesper, I wanted to unite myself with the sisters through prayer. When I went in my thoughts to the chapel, my spirit was plunged into even greater darkness. Total discouragement came over me. Then I heard Satan's voice. See, how contradictory everything is that Jesus gives to you. He tells you to find a common, and then he gives you sickness. He tells you to set about establishing this feast of mercy, while the whole world does not at all want such a feast. Why do you pray for this feast? It is so inopportune. My soul remained silent, and by an act of will, continued to pray without entering into conversation with the spirit of darkness. That's very important. Don't have any conversation with Satan. Don't argue. You can win. You don't have the wisdom. Nevertheless, such an extraordinary disgust with life came over me, and I had to make a great act of the will to consent to go on living. And again, I heard the tempter's words, ask for death for yourself tomorrow after communion. God will hear you, for he has heard you so many times before and has given you what you asked for. I remained silent, and by an act of will, I began to pray, or rather, submitted myself to God, asking him interiorly not to abandon me at this moment. It was already 11 o'clock at night, and there was silence all around. The sisters were all asleep in their cells, and my soul alone was struggling with great exertion. The tempter went on, why should you bother about other souls? You ought to be praying only for yourself. As for sinners, they will be converted without your prayers. I see that you are suffering very much at this moment. I'm going to give you a piece of advice on which your happiness will depend. Never speak about God's mercy, and in particular, do not encourage sinners to trust in God's mercy. You see, this temptation very strong, because they deserve a just punishment. Another very important thing, do not tell your confessors, and especially this extraordinary confessor and the priest in Vilnius, about what goes on in her soul. Jesus asked her to confide everything to the confessor, and the tempter, Satan, don't do that. I know who they are, and so I want to put you on your guard against them. You see, to live as a good nun, it is sufficient to live like all the others. Why expose yourself to so many difficulties? This is the voice of the devil. I remained silent, and by an act of will, I dwell in God. Although a moan escaped from my heart. Finally, the tempter went away, and I, exhausted, fell asleep immediately. Already 12 o'clock, I think, at midnight. In the morning, right after I received Holy Communion, I went immediately to my cell and falling on my knee, on my knees, I knew I renewed an act of submission in all things to the will of God. Jesus, I ask you, give me the strength for battle. Let it be done to me according to your most holy will. My soul is an armored of your most holy will. At the moment, I saw Jesus who said, I am pleased with what you are doing, and you can continue to be at peace if you always do the best you can in respect to this work of mercy. Be absolutely as frank as possible with your confessor. Satan gained nothing by tempting you because you did not enter into conversation with him. Thanks a lot. Continue to act in this way. You gave me much glory today by fighting so faithfully. Let it be confirmed and engraved on your heart that I'm always with you, even if you don't feel my presence at a time of battle. So it's very important. Sometimes you don't feel his presence. You feel alone. She felt being abandoned, being forsaken by Jesus. Today, the love of God is transporting me into another world. I am all immersed in love. I love and feel that I am loved. And with all consciousness, I experience this. My soul is thronging in the Lord, realizing the great majesty of Lord and his own and my own littleness. But through this knowledge, my happiness increases. This awareness is so vivid in the soul, so powerful, and at the same moment, so sweet. Sometimes after this, you know, a kind of transformation, all the darkness got to dip, and then feel the sweetness. So always encourage yourself, persevere. Now there are difficulties sleeping at night. Because my suffering won't allow it, I visit all churches and chapels, and if only for a brief moment, I make an act of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. When I return to the chapel, my chapel, I then pray for certain priests who proclaim the glory, who proclaim and glorify the Divine Mercy. I also pray for the intention of the Holy Father to obtain mercy for sinners. Such are my nights. So she can't sleep very well at night. On January the 20th, 1938, I never cringe before anyone. I can't bear flattery, for humility is nothing but the truth. There is no cringing in true humility. Although I consider myself the least in the whole convent, on the other hand, I enjoy the honor of being the bride of Christ. Little matter that often I hear people say that I'm proud, for I know that human judgment does not discern the motives of our actions. When at the beginning of my religious life, following the novitiate, I began to exercise myself particularly in humility. The humiliation that God sent me were not enough for me. And so in my excessive zeal, I looked for more of them on my own, and often represented myself to my superiors other than I was in reality, and spoke of mysteries of which I had no notion. But a short time later, Jesus gave me to know that humility is only the truth, not to deny yourself, not deny the gift God's given you. That's what humility. Humility, faithfully believing, that's God's gift. From that time on, I changed my ideas, faithfully following the light of Jesus. I learned that if a soul is with Jesus, he will not permit it to err. Lord, you know that since my youth, I have always sought your will, and recognizing it, have always tried to carry it out. My heart has been accustomed to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to whom I am faithful. In the midst of the greatest, did I deem I have heard the voice of God. I always know that what is going on in my interior. I'm striving for sanctity because in this way I shall be useful to the church. I make constant effort in practicing virtue. I try faithfully to follow Jesus and I deposit this whole series of daily virtues, silent, hidden, almost imperceptible, but made with great love in the treasury of God's church for the common benefit of souls. I feel interiorly as if I were responsible for all souls. I know very well that I do not live for myself alone, but for the entire church. You too, eh? You don't live only for yourself, only for your boss. You live for Jesus. That's most important. Not because she's in the common, then I live for Jesus. You too. The house where you're working is your common. House of God. You have to believe in this. Oh, incomprehensible God, my heart dissolves in joy that you have allowed me to penetrate the mysteries of your mercy. Everything begins with your mercy and ends with your mercy. All graces flow from mercy, and the last hour abounds with mercy for us. It's very important, the last hour of our life. Trust, say the church to be my mercy always. Don't forget, trust in the mercy of the Lord. Otherwise, we'll be proud. Let no one doubt concerning goodness of God. Even if a person's sins were as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery. One thing alone is necessary, that a sinner set ajar the door of his heart, let it offer so little, to let it a ray of God's merciful grace, and then God will do the rest. But poor is the soul who has shut the door on God's mercy, even at the last hour. It was just such souls who plunged Jesus into deadly sorrow in the Garden of Olives. It is sorrowful, not because of sinners, because they are obstinate in the heart. Indeed, it was from his most merciful heart that divine mercy flowed out. So, this is some piece of your soul. It fits us that we need to always believe in with the mercy, divine mercy. And one temptation is not to believe. So we ask special grace, reciting the chapter, Divine Mercy.